All right, Jeff Hathorn with you here on this Friday morning on 93.7 The Fan with Nicholas Callis. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for 50 years. And on that hotline is Bubba Chandler, Altoona pitcher, futures game representative. Bubba, hey, welcome to 93.7 The Fan. It's the play-by-play home of the Pirates here in Pittsburgh.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? What has this season been like for you?
Oh, man. It's been fun. Every year is a different type of year. And, you know, you'd rather, if you're going to struggle in the minor leagues. And that's kind of, I've had a little struggle this year. But I've really, picked it up as of recently, and I think that's a contribute to the struggles we've had. So
what did you find contributed to those struggles, and what have you done to correct it?
It's super simple. I wasn't throwing strikes. I wasn't letting my stuff play. I was just kind of trying to do way too much. And when that happens, you walk people, and then next thing you give up a hit, and a couple rounds come around, and kind of just messes up an outing. And that's kind of what I was dealing with. So,
is there a mental side curve that maybe in high school, I'm sure you played against good players, you were able to just use your ability to win games and do what you needed. Is that something that's really grown for you? And when you face better competition of being able to handle that mental side?
Oh, yeah. I think the mental side of pitching's big, or just as bigger than the physical side of pitching. So I've definitely learned how to grow on the mound, and how to think through every pitch, through every at-bat or every batter, and
You're coming off 7 2/3, 2 hits, no runs, 7 strikeouts in your last performance. And you're also named to the Futures game. How did you find out about that? And what's the excitement level for you to have that opportunity?
First off, I'm super excited. I've watched the Futures game for the past couple of years now, and, always thought, hey, it'd be cool to play in that. It'd be cooler to play an all-star game, but, I'm going to take it while I have it. And, our minor league farm director called me a couple Mondays ago and let me know, and it's pretty cool honor.
What do you expect it to be like?
Pretty laid back. A lot of good ball players out there. They're just having a good time. I got a bunch of buddies that are going out there, so it'll be good to see them. I haven't seen them in a while. So.
Do you feel yourself like, hey, I'm one of the best pitchers in the minors?
I mean, yeah, I think that's everyone's mindset. I think you kind of have to have that mindset when you're going out there to pitch. But yeah, I mean, getting the recognition, it's cool, but at the same time, I kind of just let it go, call it rat poison. Don't let stuff get between the ears, and just go out there and do your job. You don't want to be the best pitcher in the minors. You want to be the best pitcher in the majors. So just kind of think of it that way.
How close do you think you are to taking that next step, to having that opportunity in the major leagues?
I don't make those decisions. I think I still have a long way to go. Each day is a new day. So
Thomas Harrington is coming off a really good start as well. And there's some good pitchers in the Altoona rotation. How much do you push each other? What's that kinship like? Do you share a lot of ideas?
Oh yeah. We're road roommates, so we talk a lot. He's a great pitcher. just from the fact the days that he doesn't have his best stuff on the mound, he still goes out there and does what he did last night. You know, throws seven shutout innings and just pitches. And, you know, it's super fun and impressive to watch. But, yeah, we definitely, you know, we compete against each other. And, yeah, he's a really good pitcher.
When you guys are in that room, do you have those conversations of, hey, man, looking forward to that day when we're at that next level, when we're being that guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, those conversations create different conversations, and you know they're always fun.
You were a multi-sport athlete. Did it take a while to kind of settle in to just baseball? And how do you spend? You know, how do you kill the time basically when you're not playing? It's obviously as a pitcher. From a game standpoint, you're only going once every 5 days or longer because of the way the schedule works in the minors.
I've always kind of played golf. Golf's big thing for not only me but for pitchers and baseball players. You know, it's a fun little pastime. But I really think throughout the days now, I've kind of really gotten into like breaking down film, like kind of how I used to in football. You know, I used to be a big guy in the film room. I used to love it. And that's how I used to think, because I'm going to beat teams is I'm going to break down more film and understand the film better than you. And that's kind of what I'm doing now is, you know, I get 5 days before each start. And, you know, I pick out two guys a day from that team that I'm going to face, and I break them down, and I try to know exactly what I want to do against them each pitch and every at bat. And that's kind of, you know, how I pass the time during the season now.
Do you walk in at times after a, you know, after you're done with an inning and think that's exact? I'm like, what I did right there was because of the film work. Have you seen the direct correlation?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I've done that a couple times as of recently, and you know, it feels good. You know, it's just like in football, you know. You know what a team's gonna do on when it's third and short or third and medium, and you're gonna run this exact play, and you run that exact play on a Tuesday, and then come Saturday or Sunday, it happens, and you know, as a quarterback, you just think, "Dang, man, this is exactly what we practice." So kind of just that of, you know, this is exactly what I've figured out about this guy 3 days ago. Makes you feel good.
Bubba Chandler joining us, futures game representative for the Pirates, along with Tamar Johnson. Do you know Tamar at all?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Me and Tamar grew up together. We played travel ball and summer ball together for probably 4 or 5 years. So we know each other really well. And then you know, as he's gotten on the Pirates, we were teammates a little bit last year. So
Altoona Curve featured Jared Jones and Paul Skeens not that long ago. When you guys see what they're doing at the majors, what are those conversations? What kind of confidence does that give you guys?
Yeah. You know, first off, shout out to those guys. Two dudes that worked really hard to get there. But yeah, you know, want to get there as fast as you can. And I think Jared, especially Paul, but I think Jared took the route I took. Getting drafted out of high school, you know, makes you just want to work even harder and whatnot. So,
Bubba, yeah, I'm sorry. You know how tough it is on the mound. Describe what it's like to watch Paul Skeens do what he does.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, you know, he's a great talent, and you know, someone who's going to be good for a very long time. So, you know, he prepares the right way.
Yeah, I mean, it's been insane what he's doing, and they're talking. MLB is talking about at MLB.com. One of the writers was talking about him potentially starting the All-Star game. Like, there's a lot of stuff. Do you feel a positive vibe with the organization? Like, is that feeling permeating in Double A about the future of this franchise?
Yeah. Everyone wants to win. So, you know, whoever's going to help you do that, you know, you want them at the front line. So I think Paul's one of those guys that wants to win. He's also a super good talent.
Hey, Bubba, thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to you being here in Pittsburgh, hopefully not too far off, and good luck with the rest of the season, Double, Triple A, wherever it finds you, and enjoy that Futures game.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, Bubba Chandler from the Altoona Curve, off to a great start this season, 3.65 ERA. You mentioned struggled a little bit early, but has really come on as of late, kind of has figured some things out, and he is one of the, you know, one of those future stars, probably the guy in the Pirates minor league organization. 75 strikeouts and 61 2/3. But he mentioned Thomas Arrington, the roommates. They're trying to work their way up together. Bubba Chandler, we appreciate him joining us. And when we come back, another one of those special moments on the PGA Tour. And we also are going to get an update. What has been the reaction? What team is winning between Nicholas Callis and myself, the all-time great Pirates teams, as we continue here on the Fan Morning Show. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Thanks to Bubba Chandler for joining us. Man, he is having a good year. He's going to be a quarterback at Clemson before he decided to play baseball for the Pirates, and that is working out for him. Celebrate Christmas in July with us. Odyssey and the Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh, HARP, invite you to join Stuff the Doghouse on July 13th and 14th. That's next weekend. Drive through and donate pet supplies at HARP's North Side or East Side locations, and help us make a difference for our furry friends and not the ones that are roaming the streets right now. Items to donate include dry dog and puppy food. What if you offered some of those furries dry dog and puppy food?
I don't want to know.
Treats and more. Visit the events page at 937thefan.com for a full list, and help us with the Stuff the Doghouse campaign to help the Humane Society, the Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh. Jeff Hathorn in for Adam Crowley, Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis. Remains, how's the reaction to the draft going?
Yeah, you're winning that one.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Dan said he didn't even need to see my team or hear about my team.
But then you tried to, then I think you got him saying, you know, you had Honus Wagner.
Here's what I honestly think right now. People see Oliver Perez as my left-handed choice, and they think, oh, yeah, the rest of his team is terrible. But then you miss names. Like Bob Robertson, I think, is an underrated pick. Bill Mazeroski and Honus Wagner in the middle infield. Dave Parker and right. Ralph Kiner is my DH. Come on now, people. Just because there aren't a whole bunch of left-handed pitching guys that I could think of on the Pirates does not mean my team is inferior. Now, you actually have the better outfield now that I look at it.
You know, and I would,
that's a tough one.
Al Oliver is a guy that should be on there somewhere. Like, that's one that I wish.
You didn't pick him.
We had figured, well, I mean.
You could have picked him.
Right, but I mean, Paul Wehner put up some crazy numbers in Pirates history.
I should have put Al Oliver at first base. Maybe that would make my team right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody pointed out that Sturgill played a lot of left field.
That's
which
true,
he
too.
Did.
Well, we weren't. He wasn't.
But he wasn't
available. You weren't letting him get off the board at first base.
Right. He wasn't available.
Neither was I.
Right. So. I mean, most of us remember him as a, well, I shouldn't speak for the world, but I remember him as a first baseman. Not anywhere else. Once again, the 14th time in PGA Tour history, a sub-60 round happened yesterday at the John Deere Classic. As Hayden Springer, he chipped in for eagle and then birdied 18 to shoot a 59. He shot a 27 on the front nine, which is insanity to shoot a 27 on the front nine. His scorecard looked like this. He started with a par. So, okay, it's going to be an average day. Eagle, birdie, 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 birdie. Par on a par three, birdie, birdie. So on his front nine, he had seven threes and a two. Now the back nine, you probably thought like maybe 59 wasn't going to happen because he started par, 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 par. Then a birdie, intriguing. But he parred 16, so he's three shots away. Like, how is this going to happen for a guy who's 27, had to get his qualifying card in December, has played a lot on some of the alternate tours, including the PGA Tour Americas. He chips in for eagle from 55 yards out and then snuggles in a birdie on 18 to shoot 30, 27, 32, and a 59. Springer, by the way, went to Byron Nelson High School in Texas. That's probably a good sign that you're going to play some really good golf in your life when you go to Byron Nelson High School. By the way, Neil Shipley, Central Catholic, South Hills, is one under. He tees off at 317 at the John Deere Classic a little bit later on today. Coming up, Penguins Prospect Camp starts, and their assistant GM, Jason Spezza, will join us to discuss that, state of the team, all of that. It's 9:26, and time for you to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. Jason Spezza is next. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pirates and Paul Skeens at 6:40 tonight right here on 93.7 The Fan. A lot going on in Pittsburgh this weekend, Pirates and Mets. Also going on in Cranberry starting tomorrow is the Pens Prospect Camp. It'll run through Wednesday. We're joined now by Jason Spezza, Penguins Assistant General Manager. Jason, appreciate the time. I know the word offseason is kind of a misnomer now. I mean, you guys have been so busy with pre-draft and executing the draft, free agency. How do you feel like these last couple of weeks have gone for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's been good. You know, we've stuck to kind of the plan of what we were going to do. I think it's been nice to add some young talent through the draft, you know, with some of the guys that we've picked, and we're excited to kind of get to work with them. But you're right, it's been a busy time, but a time that we have to make good use of.
And you feel like that is a time where you can start to build some momentum and feel some things going in the right direction?
Well, I think so. I think, you know, we felt the injection of, you know, by having Jackson Ivany and, you know, having Pustinen and the boost those guys gave after the trade deadline, how the team played. And I think that we want to carry that momentum and, you know, make sure that we're bringing in some young guys to help Sid and Gino and Letang and make sure that, you know, they're getting a push from below and, you know, helping the team's pace stay high. So, yeah, we feel like we've accomplished that.
Jason, what's it like working with Kyle?
Kyle's great. He's you know, very detailed person, well thought out, treats everybody really well, you know, both personally and professionally. Just a guy that, you know, eats, sleeps, and loves hockey, puts it all into it, and just a pleasure to work with.
Joined by Penn's Assistant General Manager, Jason Spezza. How is that? What have you learned from your playing career that has really helped you in your role with the Penguins now?
I think not to make assumptions. I think sometimes that assumptions get made on maybe what players are thinking or how they want things. I think it's important just to directly talk to the players all the time. I know that's something that I always valued as a player, is just having open and honest conversations. So I think that's probably in the immediacy, you know, what I've found has been the most valuable of coming right from playing to managing, is just knowing that the players need to be talked to, you need to be direct with them, and they prefer to know where they stand.
Penn's Prospect Camp opens tomorrow morning in Cranberry. All six of the draft picks will be there. Jason, what's the importance of the next few days for these young players?
Yeah, I think it's an important step for, you know, it's great to bring in the new guys. So it's nice for the staff and everybody to get to know the new players that we drafted. You know, also we have, you know, first real time with Koivunen and some of the guys that were part of the Gensel trade. But it's just a great check-in time now to see where the prospects are at. So, you know, it's a good benchmark to see where Nolan Pickering is at. And, you know, how has he done? How has this summer gone since the end of the season? And, you know, the guys that we know, it's a good checkpoint to kind of help them plan out the rest of their summer and make sure that they're ready to go for training camp. And that's kind of what we use it for. And then we use it to educate them, too. It's there's a lot of transition from, you know, college and the CHL to pro hockey, and we try to help them as much as we can, give them as much information in a short period of time.
What do you tell them, Jason, about expectations of being part of the Penguins organization?
Well, I think the Penguins, we want competitive players. We want fit players. We got guys that are trying, we want guys that are trying to always get better. And I think we want to help them, you know, teach them how to move the needle. And I think that that's kind of what these camps can be is, I think to be a professional hockey player for a long time, you have to push yourself outside the comfort zones. And I think when you're a 18, 19, 20, 21 year old kid, it's hard to know what that is. So, you know, we don't do that in these camps, but we want to talk to them about it, make sure they're set up for their summers. We want to make sure that they understand what the expectation is coming into main camp.
Jason, I guess there's always evaluations going on, but is this something where you're really looking at game? Or are you looking at a lot of other things along with where their, you know, hockey is? And do you have those type of environments where you can really tell how these guys are going to match in this camp?
No, yeah, this is not an evaluation camp at all. It's, you know, it's pro hockey, so you're always getting evaluated, I guess. But it's not an evaluation camp. We're here just to educate them to see where they're at and then to set them up for success for the rest of the summer. The, you know, the last block of the summer is the biggest training part for a lot of these guys. And a lot of them need to get bigger, stronger and faster just because of the age. So it's a great time to kind of set expectations for them, give them information, get FaceTime with them. You know, we break them into smaller groups so they get to have, you know, time with different departments. But no, it's not an evaluation camp in the sense of, you know, where they're at on the ice. It's more a matter of just getting them up and going.
Penn's assistant general manager Jason Spezza is with us. You mentioned Owen Pickering. Braden Jaeger also had a good season. What have you heard about those are the last, before this year, the last two first round picks for the Penguins? What have you heard about their seasons and what are you kind of excited to see from their games these next few days?
Yeah, exciting transition going to happen for Owen. You know, difficult transition going from junior hockey to pro as a big defenseman. But, you know, I think his team got to play some meaningful playoff games, which has been great for him. You know, it was something that it wasn't the strongest program he was in prior to this. So he hadn't played much playoff hockey. So I think he learned a lot from that. And just this is a great level set for him and getting him ready to go to become a pro. And then Braden's year was, you know, a strong year, made the World Junior team. I think that team disappointed a little bit, but I think it was great exposure for him to be involved in those high-pressure situations and then to have a great run in the WHL playoffs. It's, you know, followed by a championship and Memorial Cup. It's a hard thing to do, and he played a massive role in that team. So just kind of helping him continue to kind of get back on track. Took a few weeks off after the season, and now he's got to just take the time to get stronger.
Jason, when you had these opportunities in your career, what did you learn from these camps that, you know, you would give advice to these guys about?
Well, the camps were a little different when I was coming through them. They were two-a-days, and they were meant as torture. So my advice would be survive. My advice would be survive if they were the same way. But they were 2 weeks long instead of 5 days
long. Really?
It wasn't education sessions. It was, let's see if we could break the guys. So then the CBA came in and changed all that. But so I don't know if my experience will translate right to theirs, but the biggest thing I think is to ask questions, is to, you know, make sure that you're getting the information you need, just make sure that you're going home with everything that, you know, you have to set up for the rest of the summer. I think that's just the most important thing. And then bond with the guys. Like, this is kind of the unique thing about these rookie tournaments and camps is that this is the group of guys that you're really going to come up in the organization with. So if I look back at the guys that I came up with, they were guys I ended up playing 7, 8, 9 years with. And you don't think about it when you're in these small settings, but this is potentially the group that comes up together. So I think just getting to know your teammates too, it's a great time for that.
Well, you can bond with, you know, 2 week, two a days, because there's a bond of, I can't believe these guys are doing this to us.
Exactly. You lie in bed beside each other with your roommate and think like, whoa, okay, we're in one here a little bit.
Jason, I know you've been asked this question, but I know a lot of the listeners want to know, you know, you had some battles in your career against the Pens, but what has it been like? What have you learned about being around a guy like Sidney Crosby?
Yeah, just how great Sid is. I was fortunate enough that I've played Team Canada stuff with him and known Sid for years. But just to be in the building with him every day, you know, just to see the effect that he has on just the whole environment, how hard he works, his dedication. I think it's impossible for people to believe, but it's really understated the impact that he has. And I think that he's one of the best players of all time, and it's not by mistake. He's consistently the hardest working guy. He's consistently the guy that's trying to move the needle. And it's incredible. It's incredible to be around. It's a testament to him. And, you know, at his age and he's still doing it at a really high level, doesn't surprise me.
Well, just remember to remind these kids this weekend that after they're done with the drill and they're exhausted, just how easy it is for them now.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be fine.
Hey, Jason, I appreciate the time. Good luck with Prospect Camp going on Saturday through Wednesday up at Cranberry at the UPMC Lemieux facility. Thanks, Jason, for taking a few minutes.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
Jason Spezza, assistant general manager for the Penguins. So that happens, it's basically every morning, starting at around 9 o'clock, and you can go out and watch it and see what they're putting these guys through. And you heard a couple of defensemen are kind of the highlights of this camp. And Jason also mentioned, you know, a few of the new players that came over in the Guentzel trade. How are they fitting in? But don't expect this to be, like, there's going to be times where they're just breaking down into drills. So don't expect it to be all scrimmages or one-on-one battles. Like, they do a whole bunch of different drills. They've set up different things for purposes. But if you want to get an eye and say, hey, I saw this guy first, or I remember going to see Owen Pickering as he entered his junior career and started his Penguins career, and man, at that prospect camp, he really showed me this. If you're into hockey this weekend and it ends with a tournament on Wednesday, that's when you'll see these guys play against each other as the Penguins host Prospect Camp. It is a Paul Skeens day here on 93.7 The Fan. We'll get you set for that start and go over what we've learned from this show today. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Jeff Hathorn with Nicholas Callis in for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson here on this Friday morning. Fan Morning Show, it's been fun in here the last couple of days. I'll be in Monday as well. Jeff Hathorn in for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson as they enjoy a 4th of July week. And then a little extra on the end, because before you know it, I was looking at the schedule. I had to schedule some things the other day, Nicholas, and it's like you start looking at, okay, July 24th, camp. And between then, Dan Zangrilli's taking a little time off, so I'm doing Pirates pre and post. But it's like that will end, and then all of a sudden, it's football season. And as we were talking to Chris Peak earlier, then we know Panthers season starts in early August with their first game, actually August 31st. And just when you start getting into summer, you realize the big fall sports are about ready to start.
Yeah, what happened? Time just
right
moving.
It flies here. Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. I didn't really have a good one, so I asked you, and you said you saw a really good social media's biggest loser.
Yeah, I saw this, or I talked about this on the early morning show, but yesterday there was a pop fly by the third base dugout, and this fan who was sitting behind it walked onto the dugout trying to track the ball, fell into the netting that protects you from the baseballs and keeps a barrier. Otherwise, he would have fell into the dugout, but fell into it. As he fell, released and spilled about two rows back his beverage that was in his hand as he was trying to track down this ball. Recovered, got himself out of the net without it breaking, and proceeded to sit back down like nothing happened with security right next to him. And he's, you know, and that's kind of cool, but I find him a loser because he's getting taken out of the ballpark looking at the security people like, I mean, is that really that big of a deal? Yeah. What are we, you know, why is this happening to me? Why am I getting thrown out? But, I mean, he walked so far without knowing where he was, he fell into the net.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
Rangers Padres game.
That's focus.
Or lack of awareness, you could say.
Okay. I was trying to be kind.
So that guy, social media's biggest loser. Yes.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. You know, there are a few things that I kind of take away from today. I mean, I love the conversation about Paul Skeens starting the All-Star game. And that it wasn't just one of us just throwing something out there. Somebody, and when I say us, I mean somebody from Pittsburgh just throwing out like, hey, how about him starting the All-Star game? That it was someone from MLB.com, a national writer, who is into seeing Paul Skeens in that situation. Then it, as you're thinking about it, at first it's like, oh, he's only had 9 games. You think about how dominant those 9 games have been. And then that, why isn't he deserving when you look at his percentages against other players? And then that key factor, the attention for the sport, the craziness that would probably happen on social media because of that, how all-star games need eyes and ears. And thinking of that game starting with the league's hottest rookie, bar none. I don't care what any of these other guys are doing. There's no one with more attention or who will get you to sit in their seat that's a rookie like Paul Skeens.
I've been making this argument for a little while now, not that it's earth-shattering, but national baseball fans are paying attention to the Pirates because Paul Skeens is on the team.
It's awesome. What I can't get over, like, I remember going to PNC Park when it first opened and think, this is our park. This is ours. Like, this is in Pittsburgh. This awesome ballpark is in Pittsburgh. Because after Three Rivers, which was, you know, some great games there and, you know, great memories, but I mean, looked out over the city. I mean, it was beautiful. It is beautiful. And I kind of have that feeling with Skeens of like, wait, this guy's a Pirate. I mean, this isn't Choi Ohtani, some unattainable player on the other side of the coast. This isn't Aaron Judge that no way the Pirates could afford to have on the roster, or Giancarlo Stanton, who they could afford to trade for because they wouldn't be able to sign him. This is this guy who national people are going crazy over, who MLB TV is breaking in to watch his performances, is a Pirate. That's so cool. And Dan brought up, we were talking to Dan Zangrilli last hour, and he brought up the draft and how there was debate. Like, do you take one of these position players because the Pirates need bats in their organization, which they do. But this was a no-brainer, and now we're seeing why. And for as much as it seemed like it took 5 years for him to reach the majors, it actually didn't take that long. And he will start tonight against Luis Severino as the Mets are in town for the first of four. Severino, 5-2 at 3.42 ERA. Skeens, 4-0 at 2.06 earned run average. And obviously, all the numbers and that, just the confidence, the spirit that comes to the ballpark. I'm sure there's going to be a big crowd today. This is a key series for the Bucks. Four games out in the wild card. If they believe that they are a true wild card team, the Mets are in their way. And they've got a chance to put the Mets behind them with a really good series. Severino against Skeens. Then David Peterson against Bailey Falter on Saturday. That's a 4:05 first pitch, which is the standard Saturday times now. Sunday, 1:35, Sean Manaea against Quinn Priester. Luis Ortiz in a bullpen game. We don't know. And Monday, Christian Scott, the righty, against Mitch Keller. So it's a weird Monday, non-holiday carryover game. So it's a four-game series with the Mets that starts today on Friday. And that's a 12:35 first pitch on what's going to be a 91-degree day. So hopefully the Pirates are thinking of this and decide we're not going to go with the black uniforms either of the next couple of day games. But Mitch Keller will start that game looking for his 10th win as the Bucks open that series with the Mets. Dan will host the North Shore Tavern leadoff show at 5:45 this afternoon. I'll have much more on Paul Skeens and the pitching matchup. Want to thank Nicholas Callis. Nicholas, I know your team isn't winning, but it was a valiant effort.
Yeah, I tried. I'm proud of my team.
I am proud of mine. And I do think it's the pitching that separates this.
Oh, absolutely. Bob Friend was a nice choice.
Man.
And you swallowed up Candelario before I could. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Candyman.
That's just tough. Tough, yeah. One.
Yeah, the Candyman is pretty awesome. But
last Pirates, perfect game, right?
No hitter.
Or no hitter. Last Pirates, no hitter.
No, it's not the last. The last was, yes, singular. Was the no hitter home run got it all.
Mm-hmm.
On Lanny Fritteri's call of the Ricardo Rincon. Combined no-hitter with Francisco Cordova. When Mark Smith hit the walk-off homer at Three Rivers, that was an awesome day. So we'll see what happens tonight. We appreciate Dan for joining us. Appreciate Chris Peek from PantherLair.com. Also, Jason Spezza, assistant GM for the Pens, and Bubba Chandler. Interesting to hear some of the things going through his mind as he's one of those next in line. And when you hear trade rumors, like Chandler's name hits top of the list of players other teams are interested in that are currently in the Pirates organization. Nicholas, you made it really easy. I look forward to Monday. Thanks for your help. Enjoy a weekend. I hope you're able to get a little sleep in.
I hope so, too. I think I will.
All right, fingers crossed for you. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at Sun Chevy.com.